It's a residency at the House of M's.
This is Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson.
The Ice House Great Southern Land 2022 concert series is kicking off. Tickets are on sale now. Kicks off November 19 at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl in Melbourne. Brisbane River Stage November 26 and Sydney Opera House Forecourt on Monday the 12th of December. Ice House are one of those bands that has written some iconic songs right from the very beginning, and we're very, very lucky to be joined by none other than Ivor Davies. G'day, Ivor. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on Nights with Dave Gleeson on Triple M. How's things, mate?
Very, very, very busy, thankfully.
Very busy. That's unreal to be after 2 years of not being very busy, I'd imagine.
Exactly right. And, we managed to pack it all in 1 week.
It's unbelievable. I mean, for anyone who knows and loves the song, Great Southern Land, it's become an unofficial national anthem, but it's probably more accurate than our national anthem in many, many ways.
Thank you. It's a song I still don't understand. I don't know where it came from at all. And so very unlike me to take on such a big kind of important subject. I generally kind of hide under a rock and tell nice little stories. yes, it's a very, very strange thing to be talking about it 40 years on.
Well, and the great thing is you've got this tour that's announced with symphony orchestras around the country, and I know for a lot of rock bands that have taken that stuff on, it's a really different environment. But for you, it's kind of your natural environment, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I'm only a really tiny part of it. To be honest, William Barton is really leading the whole showcase, and he's got a bunch of special guests, and I'm just one of them, which is fantastic. Musical director is John Foreman, who we all know and love.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all going on, but what we're doing our own set of shows, so we'll be actually playing our set on the forecourt of the Opera House in December the 12th, and that'll be fantastic. And I haven't actually... I have done that before, but it was the eve of the millennium, so it was a big night.
Right, right. Because there has been some massive concerts there. There was the Rocktober concerts in the forecourt of Sydney Opera House, and of course Crowded House when they did their big farewell concert.
Right, and I dare say we won't be having as big a night as they did, but it's very, very exciting, and what a fantastic place to. There's actually a bit of the Opera House in Great Southern Land, strangely enough.
Right.
When I was about 15, I won a scholarship to go and have oboe lessons at the New South Wales Conservatorium, which is, as you know, up the hill from the Opera House.
Yep.
So I had to go on the train every Thursday afternoon after school, and I literally watched it being built every week.
Wow.
From a kind of pile of steel and concrete. And then, strangely enough, by the time I left school and I was full-time at the conservatorium as an oboist, I was part of the orchestra that played in the pit for the very first operas staged in the Opera House.
Fantastic.
And I was only 18. So, you know, part of my picture that ended up in the first verse of Great Southern Land, part of my, you know, the harbour on a rainy day down in the city, also includes that whole history that I have with the Opera House as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So what was it that after, you know, going through all that kind of education around, I guess, the age of early 20s, you decided to get into pub rock?
Well, the sad story is an instrument repair actually completely wrecked my handmade French oboe, and it basically put an 11-year kind of career out of business.
Boo.
And it was one of those things that was, now that I know more about what actually happened and why it happened and what I could have done or couldn't have done to actually get it rectified, I realise now that it would have had to have gone back to France and it would have taken a year and hideously expensive. And, of course, I had no money when I was that age. And so there I was, unemployed. Why not buy a solid body electric guitar and teach yourself how to get a good sound out of it and start a pub rock band? But then that's exactly what happened.
And the thing about pub rock at the time, especially in this great country, was it was a very diverse scene, wasn't it? It wasn't all just, you know, guitars and drums. It was, you know, the keyboards were part of it. And so there was a huge breadth of kind of musical genres that were all put into the pub rock scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there were the kind of more traditional established bands. I remember seeing AC/DC's last concert before they went off to conquer the world at the Bondi Lifesaver, which was an iconic pub in Sydney. And so you'd have that kind of generation of bands. And then, of course, right at the other end of the spectrum, radical bands like Radio Birdman. And then, of course, there was an explosion of keyboard technology, which we were lucky enough to jump on that wagon because we had, you know, incredibly exciting new toys to play with.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Well, and the thing about yourself is I'm an absolute Luddite, but you were all over the technology when it first came to be useful. You know, there's talk of you using fairlights and stuff in Sydney, but for me, the kind of the digital revolution, kind of, I was very scared of it. But it looks like you kind of went, yes, this is what I've been waiting for.
Well, they were just Put it this way, you know, I never found it easier to write songs, but if I had a new toy to play with, in the process of learning how to actually make the thing work, you know, so many songs start that way. And Great Southern Land is actually a really good example of that, because I got a new toy. It was a brand new toy at the time, was turned out to be a legendary toy in hindsight, and that's a thing called the LM1, a Lin drum, which was a digital drum machine, and it was the first drum machine that actually had little tiny digital recordings of real drums in it. So I could actually sit down with a tape recorder and have a drummer in my bedroom who would play exactly what I wanted
it didn't,
to.
That didn't stink and, or play out of time.
Exactly. Had no girlfriend difficulties, all that stuff. And so the very first thing that I programmed on the Lin drum turned into Great Southern Land.
Wow, that's amazing. It's and it's so amazing that you were able to take that technology and once again be able to integrate it into the pub rock sound. But of course, you had such great international success with Man of Colours. How did that feel at the time for you to be kind of, okay, now we're getting out into the United States, etc.?
Well, we actually got out very early and into Europe and into the UK, and we had we toured over in America too as the first lineup of the band, and I guess we were kind of doing, we were a success with the first album, I think, with the college students. There was a kind of circuit that you played, which was based around sort of 20-something-year-old students who were all enthusiasts, and we were playing to the same audiences that the very young U2 were playing to.
Right, yeah.
But we went back on the second album, this one we're talking about now, which contained Great Southern Land, and it also contained another song called Hey Little Girl, and that was a very big hit in Europe. It was a top five hit in Europe, and there were two people listening to that who turned out to be quite influential. It was one of them was Peter Gabriel, and he invited us to tour with him, but the other one, on the biggest tour that he ever had that heard that song, was David Bowie.
Yeah.
And we ended up touring with him all through Europe, through England and Scotland, on the biggest tour that he'd ever done. We were playing to 70,000 people every show, and it was pretty out of control. You'd never imagine an operation as big as that one. And so, yeah, we had success in Europe early on, but then by the time we got to Man of Colours, as you say, we shifted our focus over to North America. And North America, you could spend the whole of your life touring there. It's massive. Yes, we did manage to break through, had two top 20 hits with Man of Colours, and that was a very big tour. I think it was 7 months in the United States alone, 14-month tour, so more than a year touring one album, which was pretty intense.
And did you find it difficult, like, being away from Australia for so long? Because I know, you know, bands make it in the States, but they might be from Nashville or Kentucky or wherever. But they still end up, once they've done a big tour, back in the States. But for me, myself personally, all I wanted to do was get back home to Australia after such a long time in the United States where everything was so different.
And there you've got it again, because our very first album, our very first tour took us to the UK, to Scotland, and then across to Canada, and then North America by car, which is a real grind.
Yeah.
And I became incredibly homesick. And I guess now, with hindsight, it's no small wonder that the very first song I wrote when I got home was Great Southern Land. And it was partly born out of that that feeling that you're talking about, which is, I just want to go home.
Yeah, be reconnected. Now, going back to the tour, I see the Psychedelic Furs are on there. Have you played with those guys before?
Well, we have, but I don't think they'd remember it. It was our very first international tour. So that was the very first Flowers album. I guess you probably remember that album as.
I would.
And I remember we played with them in Atlanta, and it was the first time I'd seen a saxophonist with a rock and roll band. And
yeah,
I
right.
thought, that was pretty interesting. I've actually recorded one of their songs, and it put it in a ballet for the Sydney Dance Company, and the ballet was called Berlin. So I'm looking forward to having that conversation with the Butler Brothers and who wrote the song, because they're probably not even aware.
Well, mate, I'm stoked to have been talking to you. The Ice House Great Southern Land 22 concert series, Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. You're going to be supported by the Psychedelic Furs, Mark Seymour, Motor Ace. It's good to have them young fellas back back running around.
Fantastic band. I love Motor Ace.
Great, great band. So all across the country. And just one more thing, mate, Lime Cordial. You've picked a bloody great young act there.
Oh, it's such a strange story, that one, because I was invited by the local RSL. I think it's a tiny little RSL. It's not how you imagine a big, great big RSL. And they were having a talent contest, and they invited me to come and be one of the three judges. And I agreed to do that. And it was so small a stage that you weren't allowed to bring a band. I think that a duo was as big as you
right.
could get. And the two Linebark brothers, Ollie and Louie, turned up. And they played a little kind of acoustic version of what I found out subsequently, of course, was a Lime Cordial song with a much bigger picture. But they were so incredibly entertaining and amusing, and they were such quirky songs. I approached them after it, after they'd won, by the way, and said, listen, I want to take you into a recording studio. And I did just that. I took them into a studio and recorded three songs with them, and handed the tape to them, and off they went. And, of course, the rest is history.
And, of course, they're over in Europe touring their asses off at the moment as well. So I'm sure they're very grateful for the hand up and the interest from you, Ivor.
Well, certainly, I will take credit with having discovered them. Good luck to them. They're very, very, very hard-working band, and they deserve all the success they're getting.
Good man. Well, thanks very much for your time, Ivor. All of the details are going to be on the Triple M website, and good luck with everything with the orchestras.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for your time.
See ya.